when somebody's missing, there's never a funeral, there's never a healing. It's always the wondering and lingering and the what ifs.
It was difficult looking for him. It's something, you know, I don't know if parents ever get over losing a child.
It's just so heartbreaking. So that's what I'm trying to do, everything in my power to prevent that for anyone else.
It's been 2 years since we launched Catalyst, an investigative podcast from KXAN News and Nexstar Media Group. 2 years since we first told you about a public portal called NamUs, an online data bank housed here in Texas and used nationwide to match missing persons cases with unidentified bodies, helping hundreds of families over the years find their loved ones who've disappeared.
We've had family members of missing persons come into the NamUs database, search through the unidentified decedents, and essentially solve their own cases. They found matches to their missing person.
Anyone can go online and see case details in NamUs.
They're going to be able to see maybe a height, weight for a person when they were last known to be seen. A little bit of a description that kind of explains what happened.
The system shares those descriptions with the public, plus other items for law enforcement eyes only. Fingerprints, dental records, DNA.
It's not uncommon for us to receive cases from family members, from law enforcement agencies, from medical examiners, coroners, even the general public, concerned citizens.
It's such a powerful tool, now 10 states have passed laws to require police to report all missing persons cases to NamUs. That's up from 6 when we first started digging.
It's not a requirement to enter missing persons into NamUs in the state of Texas.
2 years later, that's still true, but don't count Texas out just yet. A lot has happened in that time. Just listen. I'm Josh Hinkle, and this is a special update to our first season of Catalyst. On this episode, I'm joined by my colleague and fellow investigative reporter, Arzo Dost. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Josh. Thank you for having me.
Arzo, one of the main reasons we're looking back at this issue is because the Texas legislature is back to work at the state capitol in Austin for the first time since season one. So if they were to make some policy change, now would be the time to do it. But before we get too far into the episode, I want to remind listeners we had a lawmaker promise to do just that back then, to consider legislation in 2021. Here's a clip of our interview with Representative Charlie Guerin from 2019 when we spoke about NamUs.
If I thought that we being law enforcement in Texas, were not participating in a meaningful manner, then I think it would be necessary for us to pass legislation that would require it.
Knowing that other states are requiring law enforcement agencies to report to NamUs, do you think it's at least something Texas should explore?
I think that the more information that's out there on a missing person, the more that's available, the better. And if we need to be part of NamUs in order to get police to submit the stuff, then we'll carry a bill and do that. But like, I can't imagine the emotion that those families and the stress that they're going through when someone does go missing. You know, I've got a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old grandsons, and I couldn't imagine. I get nervous when we go to the aquarium when it's really crowded, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden that 5-year-old's gone like that, and it just scares me to death. But we're going to contact NamUs today. And I appreciate you bringing this to us.
So, Arzo, we learned Representative Guerin's office did reach out, but there hasn't been much movement since then, it seems. Just for some background, why did we think he would have been interested in this issue in the first place?
NamUs is in Representative Guerin's district, and it's actually managed by the University of North Texas Health Science Center, which is in Fort Worth and has a separate forensics lab. Representative Guerin has actually worked on legislation related to the forensics lab there in the past.
Now, you've reached out to his office repeatedly, I know, for an update now that lawmakers are back at the Capitol filing bills. How's that gone?
I tried to reach Representative Guerin several times. Finally, his chief of staff responded back to an email saying that he's still thinking about this particular issue.
Okay, so obviously there are a lot of things going on in the state right now where lawmakers need to focus as well. Coronavirus, the state budget, record unemployment, just to name a few. But that doesn't mean we should forget about NamUs. Even though police in Texas aren't required to report to the system, it's still helping solve cases here, right?
There are thousands of cases that are open in Namus right now. Since 2007, 600 cases have been resolved with Namus's help. These are missing persons, unidentified, and unclaimed persons cases.
And that number's just for Texas, so there's even more nationwide. And supporters say, think of the number it could accomplish if the reporting requirement existed here in Texas, and the speed at which those cases could be solved. Which brings us to a Houston father named David Fritz, whose son Joseph went missing in 2017.
Joseph, he was quite a character growing up. He was always kind of the life of the party and just really had a great personality. Him and I were really close too. He really excelled. He did good. He got his college degree and then right after that joined the Marines. And unfortunately, he was injured and got a medical, honorable medical discharge. And he had had some marital problems. He'd gotten married and ended up getting divorced, which was pretty hard on him. And after that, unfortunately, he fell into addiction, just drugs, opioids. And so he ended up moving with me, trying to get his life straight. And one day he decided he needed to get away, which I encouraged him as well, just to have a trip, you know, try to clear his mind. He went to South Texas and that was the last I'd heard of him.
So that all happened in October 2017. Arzo, you recently spoke with this father. What happened next? It's not an easy process when someone goes missing.
Not at all, Josh, especially for a family left with the task to try to put the pieces together. He filed a missing persons report with Houston police days after his son disappeared. He knew his son was in the Laredo area, so he decided that he was going to head south to see if he could find Joseph himself. Well, he found his car at the border, but there was no sign of his son anywhere. He later ended up also filing a missing persons report in Laredo and also in Mexico.
I can't imagine. I mean, at this point, Namus wasn't really in the picture. Neither police department submitted anything from the missing persons case, and no unidentified bodies were matching, right?
Right. And David had actually learned about Namus by just researching. He ended up putting Joseph's missing persons information into the database. And he says he would go there weekly to check to see if there were any matches. But he says there were no matches.
I knew in my heart that if he hadn't called me, you know, something worse had happened. But as a parent, you're still hopeful that even though you know probably the outcome of this, you still just don't want to give up. I would always go to the meetings with the Texas Center for the Missing here in Harris County. Namus was there and willing to take DNA of the parents of the missing. And I believe that was in April of 2019. So Namus took my DNA and Joseph's mom and my oldest son Jordan's DNA. Then I received a phone call from the Houston Police Department, and they told me that my son Joseph had been located there, and he had actually died almost 2 years prior to that and had been in the Laredo morgue for several months and then eventually buried as a John Doe in the Laredo City Cemetery. With your children, you know, it's that's what you're here for. I mean, you're responsible for their safety and well-being. And even when they get older, you know, you think it's going to get easier. I think it's harder, you know. We called the medical examiner to find out what had happened. And they'd actually found Joseph in the Rio Grande River. You know, they didn't do any toxicology reports, so we'll actually never know exactly how he died. Unfortunately, when they find a body in water, a lot of times, especially if it's a decomposed body, the cause of death a lot of times will be
drowning.
So Joseph's body was actually found in the Rio Grande in Laredo just a few days after the missing persons reports were filed. But because he was unidentified and it wasn't entered into NamUs, it took almost 2 years for his father to find him.
David tells me that Joseph's DNA was required to be entered into a database that's actually maintained by the FBI called CODIS. It's only for law enforcement, so there's really no matching going on. So the family says that they provided NamUs with their DNA years later. That's when there was a match, because NamUs was able to look at the CODIS database and find Joseph's DNA. They were able to make the match. David says if those agencies shared this information, he would have been able to find Joseph much sooner. In fact, he says if the medical examiner in Laredo had put Joseph's information into NamUs under the unidentified bodies, David would have been able to find him, and he would have been able to make a match.
Which is where a law would come in handy to make sure those agencies are getting those details to NamUs. And as it would turn out, that opportunity actually came knocking on David's door last fall. Her name is Lacey Hall, and she was running for a state house seat in Houston.
So I was block walking, knocking on doors, and you know, it was during the election, and I met him and asking people about the issues that they care about and telling them about myself and the, you know, why I'm running. And he told me about his son who had been missing.
Embarrassed to say, I think I was covered in grease. I'd been out working on a car and heard someone knocking at the door, my dogs barking, and I was just, this time, you know, I was pretty riled up trying to locate my son's grave and all these hearings and trying to get it exhumed. So she may have gotten more of an earful than she wanted to hear, but she was really receptive to it.
Obviously, it was such a heartbreaking story. When he was telling me, it was one of those things where I think, like myself and most everyone, just assumed that, how could this happen? Isn't this already something that takes place, proper reporting of a missing person and an unidentified body?
Well, for me, first of all, I would have immediately located Joseph's remains. And the only way it can be effective is that everybody has to, you know, enter the data.
I was completely shocked. And I told him that day, I said, when I win, I'm going to do this. Like, this is something that we need to help Texas families have closure.
And Arzo, you've been speaking with Representative Lacey Hall recently. She won her race and kept her promise. In fact, House Bill 1419 was the very first bill she filed as a new legislator, I understand.
It was a very exciting moment for her because she told David Fritz that she was going to keep her promise. This bill will require law enforcement or medical examiners to enter information into NamUs. So this is details including dental records, fingerprints, and any clothing descriptions of missing persons to be put into NamUs within 30 days, and unidentified bodies no later than 60 days.
That's a big first step, but it still has to get through the legislative process. What type of support is Representative Hall seeing, if any? Has Representative Guerin reached out?
We asked her if she's heard from Representative Guerin, and she said she had not. And in fact, she told me that she would reach out to his office when the opportunity came, and she wanted to give it a little bit of time since the bill has just been filed. I did reach out to Representative Guerin again and provided him with the bill information and asked if he's connected with Representative Hall, but I have not gotten any responses back.
One big hurdle is getting past concerns about cost. It's maybe easier for some lawmakers to support this, knowing there's no fiscal impact to the state or to police departments, right?
Right, Josh. This bill will not require older cases to be entered into NamUs. That's how agencies can keep it at no cost. Representative Hall says it will, in the end, save agencies money, time, and resources because they'll be able to match missing persons to unidentified bodies quicker.
Well, beyond lawmakers, we know she has the support of families of missing persons across the state. People like David Fritz, and also a woman from Houston you interviewed 2 years ago when we first started reporting on this topic. You recently caught up with Alice Almendarez, whose father was missing for 12 years until Namus made a connection. Listen.
Without Namus, we would have never found him. They helped us to get my DNA and my sister's DNA and run it through a database called CODIS to get potential matches, to run against potential unidentified bodies to see if they matched our DNA. And one of them was matched to my father, who was buried in 2004 as an unidentified Hispanic male. The county had his body and the city had his missing persons report. So somehow or another, that communication was lost and pushed to the back and left us in a 12-year search for my father. It's 12 years of grieving. It's 12 years of not knowing. It's 12 years of torture. And every day you just, you know, you wake up and you hope that they're still alive. I know what it feels like, and I don't want anyone else to feel that, especially for longer than they have to.
Such a sad and very similar story to what we heard about Joseph Fritz. The county had Alice's father's body for 12 years, and that connection just never happened. I understand she's been working with Representative Hull on this legislation, right, Arzo?
Even before Representative Hull came into the picture, Alice was looking for a lawmaker to help her. Finally, when she found out that Representative Hull was interested in this, and through Namus, she heard about it and connected with David Fritz, she said she finally felt like she had what she was looking for. So when she found out about Representative Hull, she immediately connected, and she's been a huge resource for Representative Hull. In fact, she is determined to make sure that this bill passes. A lot's happened for Alice since the last time we talked with her. Last year, she had a baby boy. She named him after her father, John.
And something else also bears his name, John. Out of all of this too, right?
Right, Josh. This bill will be called John and Joseph's Law. It's named after her father and David Fritz's son.
Very appropriate. We will be sure to follow that bill's progress. Arzo, thank you for joining me for this update.
Josh, thank you so much for having me.
And during this round of reporting, Arzo's also been following the funding challenges sources say are happening inside Namus right now, leaving questions about whether the system will stay in Texas after its current contract is up this fall. We'll stay on top of that too. And you might be wondering if there's an update on the case that sparked our coverage. Jamie Mayberry, the 35-year-old gay black man who went missing from his home in the town of Kennedy in 1999. Well, despite our team tracking down the remaining person from a list of suspects on the initial report, the police chief tells us they've had no leads, no follow-ups, and no new information since last reviewing the case. Maybe you know something, though. We have contact details along with our original investigative docuseries online now. Find links at missingintexas.com. Catalyst is reported, produced, and edited by me, Josh Hinkle, along with Arzo Dost and Andrew Choate. Digital support for this episode comes from Rachel Garza, Matt Mitchell, Robert Sims, and Kate Winkle. KXAN's news director is Chad Cross. And its vice president and general manager is Eric Lassberg.